Sure. Keith Murphy.
This is your time.
Andy Fails.
Whoa, I don't play defense.
It's the Murph and Andy Show, powered by AD.
Just a bit outside.
On 1460 KXNO.
Because I get 1,000 hugs from 10,000 lightning bugs as they tried to teach me how to dance.
I have to say, I think that's one of my better choices right there. It's a guilty pleasure because it fits the category. It's a guilty pleasure. Owl City.
I was shocked that you sent this today.
I like this too.
You know, it's funny because when I first, I haven't heard this song in 10 years, right? And when you first sent this, I was like, oh, that's that really cheesy, you know, like
uses an auto-tune.
awful song. Yeah. But then when I was like, you know what? This is a pretty good little song. So thank you, Andy. You broadened my world today.
So yeah, this guy was working at like a factory in Owatonna, Minnesota, which is where everybody stops at Cabela's when you're going
really?
Up to do some fishing up in Minnesota. He was working at like a factory there, and he had insomnia. He couldn't sleep, so he would write songs. This Owl City dude. I don't even know his name.
Owl City.
I think he just goes by Owl City. Yeah. And he wrote a song, and this is kind of what I think this is the song he wrote, and it ended up turning it into a sort of star.
Look at that.
So Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO. Brian Harden is with us now. Drake's athletics director. We got lots to talk to him about concerning his day job, but we will not make this all about work, okay? We're going to have some fun, too. We're going to let you, for about 25 minutes here, be a regular dude.
Oh, my
okay?
God. Finally.
Just play along with the show like we normally would do it, like you're any old schmo
that
would come in here.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
All right, excellent.
And today is it O day for the guilty pleasure?
Yeah, we're up to the letter O.
What have you played so far? You had Owl City.
Started with Ozzy Osbourne.
Olivia Newton-John. One Direction.
Yeah, One Direction. That was a good one.
What else?
Oasis.
Old Dirty Bastard. See, ODB. Oasis is not going to be something anybody feels guilty about.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they don't.
You take pride in being an Oasis fan?
I don't know that I take pride in
now
it. I don't even think I'm guilty about it. Yeah, you know that you're making
Jeez,
me feel guilty. Yeah, here I am, Joaquin Phoenix with the beard and the David Letterman.
You love Wonderwall. You're a huge Wonderwall.
One Direction, you should feel horribly guilty about One Direction.
And yet it's so catchy.
Yeah, it is.
You know.
One that we just went to the break with.
Yeah,
it is. It is. And Owl City, it's catchy. You probably, it was at one point an impulse buy on iTunes for you.
You can play Outkast here soon?
Outkast
again,
not guilty.
Not something I'm guilty.
Yeah,
you're
not gonna feel guilty.
You love it.
But,
all right, boy.
You keep chewing on this.
Maybe by
the end of your time here, you'll have something.
I'll have to
for
find
us.
A website with artists that start with O.
Yeah. Do you have any extra time these days? Can you be thinking about this?
I would
kind
love
of stuff?
To make some extra time.
I'll bet you would. Let's do. Let's start it off like we always do here in hour number two. Let's do some trending Iowa.
Trending Iowa, powered by Carl Chevrolet Commercial Sales, home of Central Iowa's largest commercial selection. Visit them today at The Rock.
Trending Iowa, the latest bracketology as Iowa State is a 4 or 5 seed, Iowa pretty solidly a 6 seed, and Drake, should they make it a 14 or 15 seed?
You even want to speculate on that yet, or is that you feel like you jinx yourself?
That's about 13 seed lines too low, I think.
Come on now.
No, I mean, just...
You could be the Drake AD, but don't talk like the Drake AD.
All right, no, just, I mean... Who would have thought, here we are, what is today, February 21st. That we'd have, talking about three men's teams in bracketology, and probably three women's teams in bracketology as well.
I mean,
it's an amazing time.
You don't even have to go that far. Who would have thought you would be paying attention to all the other games in the Valley right now? Loyola last night, Missouri State last night.
I watched more UNI basketball last night than I have in a long time.
Yeah, you're probably cheering for them pretty hard.
Oh, there was no bigger Panther fan. Than me last night. So and it'll be the same case next Wednesday when they play Loyola.
You're just like, yes, this is how the other side lives.
right.
Yeah. This is nice.
I got some purple and gold in the bottom of my drawer there and put it on.
Is interesting. Iowa State from 18 to 14 in the net rankings there.
Yeah, Iowa State had a really good night last night. They moved up 4 spots.
Is that right? Wow.
The night before, not such a good night.
Not so great. But obviously,
moved up 4 spots.
Didn't matter all that much.
Still holding out hope to come to Des Moines.
The computers love Iowa State.
I mean, I guess at this point, what's the harm in holding out? I mean it's a long shot.
Yeah,
everybody knows
I think at this point, you probably have to win the Big 12 to get here.
Not realistic, but I mean, not so ridiculous that you look like a fool for
they've played
just hoping
to the level of their competition. They play up. They played. I mean, if there's one team that can do it, I mean, that isn't that the team here that if you're going, I certainly hope that Drake goes through and wins the conference tournament. But Iowa State, you think of anybody else would be the best, have the best shot to do it because you've seen what that ceiling looks like, and in that league, they certainly can pull it off.
And just being able to entertain the idea of one of our teams being here when we host. I mean, that's just a fun thought.
Oh,
to be able to just entertain that. I was talking to Greg Edwards this morning, and he's got Bacon Fest and the wrestling tournament out of the way. There's the boys and girls basketball tournament still to come at Wells Fargo Arena. But for the most part, I was thinking, okay, so you guys are kind of about ready to really laser focus on the NCAA tournament. It's getting close. And he's like, well, about ready. That's all we've been doing for a while now.
Yeah.
They're dialed in on that.
There's been a lot of meetings. We co-hosted the NCAA a month ago when they sent a group through here on a site visit.
Do you have a job with that?
Yeah, I think I do have some title, but I also, everyone understands that I'll probably be traveling with our women's team or our men's team that weekend. So I have to have some highfalutin title of tournament manager or something like that, but we've already made sure
tournament manager emeritus.
Yeah, exactly.
Something that doesn't mean anything.
But I don't have to be on site.
That's so interesting, though, because you're right. Like Drake is hosting, so you would think like you and your whole staff would be on site, but now you may have two teams to follow.
And so we asked, you know, 4 years. When was the last time you hosted? 4 years ago? Was that when Des Moines?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Has it been four now?
And Iowa State was the host. They said that Jamie wasn't around because Jamie was with his teams, and said you just have to be able to, you know, have your phone on you to settle any disputes that come up.
And what kind of dispute?
I don't know.
Who gets to sit where?
And I think some of that it's
whose locker room,
right? Who gets to practice in the nap set?
Who gets
at a
to use
time?
These outlets to charge their phones?
Right. Who gets preferential seating at Spaghetti Works? I don't know.
Spaghetti Works is never so popular.
You're right.
And during the month of March in Des Moines, all the out of town are coming. You can eat all the spaghetti you want.
I love the salad bar.
And there's a salad bar shaped like a fire truck.
Well, speaking of that, the girls' state basketball tournament starts Monday in Class 5A. 7 of the 8 teams that qualified are from right here in the Des Moines Metro. You have Johnston, Waukee, Southeast Polk, Valley, Dowling, Ankeny Centennial, and Urbandale. They all play Monday morning at Wells Fargo Arena. Iowa City High, the only non-Des Moines school to get to the 5A.
Oh, screw them. Let's get them out early.
Where do they play first game?
You're a CIML guy.
I am a CIML guy.
You got to love that, right?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Were they that good in girls basketball when you were in high school?
No. When I was in high school, my Dowling was always so good. Phenomenal. Ankeny was only one high school at the time, so Ankeny was really strong. My junior
Scott
year,
Young, the coach
yes,
back
exactly.
then?
Yes, exactly.
He's a Centennial good
now.
Coach.
Yeah, my junior year, the Valley team, I think, might have got to the finals, but then lost. So that there was some good, but it wasn't 7 out of 8.
Dominant.
I mean, that's got to be historic. That's,
like it is
that's
now.
Incredible.
Yeah. Finally, training Iowa staying at Wells Fargo Arena. The Iowa Wild are home tonight and tomorrow night against San Jose. Both those games can be heard right here on KXNO. Tomorrow night includes Dropkick Murphys after the game.
That's right. Concert. That concert's coming up. Yeah, that's right. Getting into a good time for, man, I'm all about hockey right now. You guys seen the St. Louis Blues? Anybody? Seen the St. Louis Blues lately?
Since you're talking about them, I'm assuming they're winning.
They have won 11 straight games. That is the greatest winning streak they've ever had in the franchise history.
Wow.
That's amazing. They were like on the canvas. They were done. They were terrible. They bring in Craig Berube to be their head coach. Craig Berube, when I was like in high school and college, was a total goon. a total goon. He had long hair. They called him the Chief. In less PC times, yeah, because he is part First Nations. They called him the Chief. Man, he could fight, right? He would love. He would fight Basil McRae of the Minnesota North Stars. Man, they would get down seriously. This guy, and you would interview Craig Berube if he was in town, and you would look into his face, and you just would not even hear what he was saying because you're thinking to yourself, this guy has been punched in the face a million times. This guy has been punched so many times. And you just never looked up close at a guy's face that has just been punched over and over and over and over again. tough dude.
He has to have total respect of the team, I would imagine. No one's going to cross
There is no way that he is not willing to drop the gloves with any one of those players.
He's the toughest guy on the bench.
He would probably win now current because the league is not, toughness-wise, not what it used to be. But he has been this revelation at coach for the Blues. Man, did I digress there. I didn't even ask permission.
That's it for Trending Iowa, powered by Carl Chevrolet Commercial Sales.
And Smurf and Andy Show, 1460 KX, and O'Brien Williams. Brian Williams.
Whoa.
I was just looking at that, the computer here, Brian Williams. Brian Harden is sitting in Keith's seat right now. Andy Fales, Andrew Downs, as always. Murph is back down in Florida with his mom, dad, sister, doing some family stuff there, and we're thinking about him today. We're missing him. Let's bring you up to date on today's quickie poll, Brian. I want to get your thoughts on this. So the quickie poll reads, if I were Zion Williamson and I was cleared to play, I would return to the lineup right away, play through the rest of the year, or play it safe and call it a season. I take it you're familiar with what happened to him last night.
His shoe exploding, him going down, playing 30 seconds of the game last night against Carolina, and then did not return. Is it knee sprain? Is that what we're
yeah,
going
yeah,
with?
Yeah. Mild knee sprain. How new were the shoes? Did we figure that out?
I mean, don't know.
It was early in the game, so I mean, they hadn't had a long. I mean, those guys change shoes a lot.
I can't imagine,
you get all the shoes you want.
Yeah, I can't imagine Duke and Nike are.
Do you
going
know
too far.
With Drake? How often do those guys change shoes?
Oh, I couldn't even tell you. Not as often as the Duke guys, but it's
well
a
for
couple,
sure.
And I've seen us wear
they don't
blue
wear the
shoes,
same
white shoes. No, I've seen us wear even just different colors, different styles throughout the year.
They don't wear the same pair of shoes all year.
No. Yeah, so they'll swap that out.
Do you ever have a shoe break? You mean you were a runner?
Me?
Did you ever break a shoe?
Oh no, because I'm not cutting. I'm running in circles, so I'm running and turning left and running and turning left.
But your shoes stayed on your feet the whole time.
My shoe, funny story. My shoe actually did come off one time when I was running. Somebody stepped on the back of my shoe when I was taking on a relay race.
And kind of so like a Zola Bud, Mary Decker thing.
Yeah, so I had to kick it off, and I ran a race.
Barefoot?
With one shoe on, one shoe off.
How'd you do?
Not well. Yeah, I tore off all the skin on the bottom of my foot. I think we went from probably like third to last with
yeah,
with
because,
me.
I mean, the track is it looks soft, but it's actually kind of...
right, and when
it's,
and
it's
when
like
this
like
was happening,
brush.
it was June because it was an AAU meet when it was over at the University of Nebraska. And so it was hot, and so I burned
some cornholer from Nebraska stepped on the back of your shoe.
Most likely.
That's probably what happened. Yeah. But your shoe didn't break, is my point.
Didn't break, yeah.
I was saying I broke a Reebok pump. I overpumped it. It had the pump in the tongue. The tongue went inflate back in the 80s.
You popped it.
I overinflated it. I mean, I wasn't, you know, out there playing so hard that the shoe broke. But that's I think that's the only time. I mean, you get holes in your shoe, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you have like the thing comes apart a little early, but yeah, I've never had it explode.
Yeah, like the glue on my boots right now that I used to shovel in has come off, and so now
it's because you've been shoveling so damn much.
Just look outside; it's not hard
terrible.
To believe, right?
Okay, so what would you do if you were him?
Oh, I'd come back. You're part of a team that's number one in the country. And
okay, now
you've got a great chance to win a national title.
You're not in the segment yet where you have to act like an athletics director.
I'm not. I'm telling you, I mean, if I've got a chance to win a national championship, I want to do that.
I agree.
I do too. I want to say that. But there are a lot of people today telling him not to come back. Just don't even risk it. That's it. That's enough. There is a bazillion dollars on the line.
What?
You set up generations of your family. If you go to the NBA and you're the number one pick.
Are they saying the same thing to his two teammates that are going to be the second and third picks in the draft next year?
Well, no, they're not hurt.
Well, but how hurt? I mean, but wouldn't the same...
They didn't get a scare.
The same thing would apply, though. I mean, it wouldn't...
They could sit down and not go.
I mean,
yeah.
they are one blown shoe away.
I think once you get hurt, though, you've been hurt before. I mean, you get all scared.
Right.
He's not scared of anything.
Scared of his shoes.
Shoes are scared of him.
I just don't know why it would be a whole lot. I mean, yeah, there's a little scare now.
All right, let's hear from some outside perspectives first. Here, and I'm sure everybody is clamoring for this, here's what Stephen A. Smith thinks.
He himself said weeks ago, I came here to play. If I didn't want to play, then I would have sat out and saved myself for the NBA draft. I'm a kid. I love playing basketball, and that's what I want to do. There is no reason on earth why a guy with his talent, this health that is healthy, all right, playing for a Duke team that's competing for a national championship. And this guy's competing for Player of the Year honors. He's projected to be the number one overall pick. Should just shut it down and quit on his teammates and just say, you know what, I'm not going to play.
How much does Stephen A. Smith hate the voicemail message that only gives you a certain amount of time? It cuts you off, and then you have to call back, or you know, you have to hit the button and redo it over and over again because you got cut off. You don't, and you're not really ever sure how much time you've got. I digress. That's a strong argument there. I mean, he himself said he came to play.
I hate to say it, I kind of agree with him.
Right, probably a lot of people saying that too. Other side of the coin, Jay Williams thinks he should shut it down.
For a family like their family, you know, you have a chance to make a lot of money. That's a major, major decision. And you have to be able to compartmentalize your love for the game as opposed to the long end of the game business-wise. Is it in Zion Williams' best interest with what he's been able to accomplish thus far in this season to come back and to try to play off a knee injury? I don't think it is. If I were his advisor, if I were an agent, I would advise him not to. I think that would be the right business move for him. But once again, Zion is his own person. He's going to do what he wants to do.
Everybody says they want him to do what he wants to do. Of course not. You're not going to advise this guy to go against what he wants to do. Right. But if he's saying, what should I do? That's the question. And there's a lot of money on that question.
Yes, there is.
Riding on that. It's the Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO, Jim Boeheim. This is crazy. The Syracuse coaching legend struck and killed a man with his car last night around midnight, according to a Syracuse.com report. A man in his 30s got out of his car after an accident on Interstate 690 in Syracuse. A source told the outlet, when Boeheim drove by and hit the pedestrian, 74-year-old Boeheim's cooperating with authorities, reported the accident to police. Syracuse just beat number 18 Louisville on Wednesday night at the Carrier Dome. So I guess they tested him, the other guy. Nobody had been drinking, sober. The guy was stopped in the road. It's dark. He got out of his car and is in the lane of traffic when Boeheim hit him. It's a terrible thing to happen to anybody. My God, that would weigh on your brain. For a 74-year-old man, I mean, Boeheim is a pretty headstrong guy. For a 74-year-old man, I can imagine this. This will have a big effect on him. That's just an awful feeling.
Yeah, I think regardless of his age, 74, 24, I mean, that's going to, he'll carry that for the rest of his life.
I think when you get to the end of life and you're slowing down at 74, I think, maybe I like to think that life becomes a little bit more finite to you. It's a little bit more, you're being more retrospective and maybe valuing your days on earth a little bit more. And then this kind of thing happens. And this guy's younger, the guy's in his 30s, killed a younger person like this. It seems like a total accident, but those are the hardest ones to get over, right? I mean, you're just doing what you normally do and you hit and kill a guy.
Yeah. I would assume and hope that, you know, that, I mean, everything for the family of the young man that was hit by the car is just tragic. And I know I'm sure they're being surrounded by people in that community to support them. And there needs to be support for Jim. And I'm sure that,
yeah,
that's
no doubt about
because,
it.
And just this is where sports and basketball take a backseat to life and what's really important.
A pretty hard boiled dude, too, Jim Boeheim is. But I imagine this is a really, really rough on him. Let's get some more, Andrew.
It's time for more, brought to you by Lithia Volkswagen of Des Moines. I'm Scott Landreth, inviting you to get more savings, more selection, and more service only at Lithia Volkswagen. Visit DesMoinesVW.com. And now, back to Murph and Andy.
At Brian Harden, did you hear about the Ranch Lady of Iowa yet?
The Ranch Lady?
The Ranch Lady. That's what she's been dubbed.
Oh, haven't heard about the Ranch
Okay,
Lady.
So at the airliner in Iowa City.
Yeah.
You know that? I have seen the bar, and I've never been in the bar.
Sure, yeah.
It's a well-known bar.
I remember about half the times I've hung out there. Yeah.
You know the airliner.
I
they say it's more than a bar. Apparently, they serve pizza.
Yeah, it's pizza in a bar. I think Tom Arnold owned it for a while. I don't think he still does, but for like when I was at college there in the early 2000s, he owned it.
So the Ranch Lady of Iowa is this student, Hannah Kinney, from the University of Iowa. So at the airliner in Iowa City, she interrupted accidentally, Democratic presidential candidate Kirsten Gillibrand at her, who was speaking to supporters after shortly after announcing she was going to run for president, interrupted her so she could squeeze through and get some ranch dressing for her pizza. Cameras are rolling, microphones are hot at the time, and it looks like the it looked like she's moving in there and like wants to talk to Gillibrand, right, to the senator.
Yeah, right.
And she's the senator's nice, but she's like, "What? Yeah, I'm sorry, can I help you? Oh no, I excuse me, I just need to get some ranch." They had served her pizza upstairs. She had a Bible study. They served her pizza and didn't bring the ranch. They forgot to bring the ranch. Stupid them, you're in Iowa. You serve pizza, you serve it with ranch.
Of all things the airliner would do. Forgetting the ranch, right, yeah, I would not expect.
That's inexcusable. Hannah Kinney, again, is her name. So the whole thing has gone viral. Jimmy Fallon laughed about it on his show. And the story was picked up by CNN and the great Jeannie Moss.
Don't even think of messing with her ranch dressing, as Democratic presidential candidate Kirsten Gillibrand was speaking at an Iowa City restaurant called The Airliner. This viral moment took off.
The base and the grassroots care about.
I'm just trying to get some ranch.
And thus was born Ranch Girl, the hero America needs now.
This is something that people outside the Midwest get a kick of our obsession with ranch dressing. I mean, you serve everything with ranch dressing. The one thing that I think almost the upset location of ranch dressing is actually on somebody's salad. That's like the last place you expect it in Iowa. Real quick, let's get a more quickie poll here, Andrew.
How do you use ranch dressing most often? As a salad dressing or as a dipping sauce?
Brian?
I'm going to lose my Iowa card here. I do not use ranch dressing at all.
Not at all?
Not at all.
We should put that as an option, but one or the other. You don't use it at all.
I'll probably get kicked out of the state for this. I've got a son who has to have it as a dipping sauce for anything. He likes to take the ranch and the ketchup and kind of swirl it
together.
Mix them together. That's good. And then dip it in there. So very proud of Bennett that he does that. But I just never have gotten into ranch dressing for whatever reason. So I feel like I'm letting the whole state down right now by admitting that on the radio.
And I think you'll be forgiven. That's all right. There are enough people like me out there. Andrew?
I don't use it as a salad dressing. I pick other dressings, right? I use it as a dipping sauce more than I'd like to admit. And it's funny, my wife, who's like a trained chef and has very good food taste, that's like her one kind of, you know, come down to earth with the rest of us is she likes ranch.
I thought you were going to say she abstains.
No. She likes to dip like cheese curds, anything fried in ranch. I'm all about it, especially wings. I won't eat hot wings without ranch.
I like ranch as a salad dressing to me. I like the buttermilk ranch that I can make at home with real buttermilk and the Hidden Valley seasoning pack. Ooh, that's good. I like that a lot. It's a dipping sauce. I don't ever use it as a dipping sauce. I just don't. We didn't do that in St. Louis when I was growing up. It was salad dressing. That was it. I'd never heard of anybody using it for anything but that.
I think we're onto something, though. And with Drake being kind of the home where the Iowa caucus is, I think as we get candidates to come through here, Kirsten Gillibrand, Cory Booker, whomever, we got to put them on the spot. Okay. Which side of the fence do you
Yeah, what do you use ranch for? Instead of having the hand sanitizer pump, just a ranch pump out in the hallway.
I know somebody could help get this done.
You might know someone.
Yes, I think you might, Andrew. Yeah. We'll check in on that quickie poll a little bit later on. More quickie poll, that is. This is the 54-year anniversary of the assassination of Malcolm 10. He was gunned down on February 21st, 1965.
It's Malcolm X.
You don't know that story. Early on in my time in TV, one of our news anchors she wasn't real sharp on history. And, you know, I mean, it says Malcolm X, right? I mean, you think that's... Right. And it says assassination.
You don't call it Super Bowl X.
We think it's like it looks like something happens to a king, right? So yeah, you think he's the Malcolm 10. Didn't know who Malcolm X was.
Malcolm the 10th?
Man. This was the day, though. This was the day. The new Aldi in Ankeny opens 1 week for today. 1 week from today. 14,000 square feet. It's about 40% larger than most of the Aldis in the Des Moines metro. 2075 North Ankeny Boulevard, north side of town.
People are catching on to Aldi. It's getting busy.
You
in
do
Aldi?
Aldi?
At what point will the line start to form to be the first one in the store?
Yeah, it always starts really early. I mean, it's a week out. It's probably
anytime
a few days away. New
store.
It's awfully cold.
Opens up around here. There seems to be a line of people that cannot wait to get in there, either first or in the first hour or on the first day. You know, there was a huge line out at Raising Cane's when that opened up here.
That's kind of sad.
If we ever get your Steak and Shake, you know there's going to be a line around.
There you go. I'm a hypocrite. I'll be in that line.
You'll be the first one there.
I'll be in that line.
That's right.
Yeah. Aldi, though... Don't go in as like an obvious Aldi version. That place will swallow you alive.
Yeah, go test yourself out. Go practice. Just the Urbandale Aldi.
Go walk around. Yeah, go practice. Go walk around. Take some notes or something.
Learn how to get your car.
Yeah, learn that. Watch that closely because people yell at you if you take too long in that cart with a quarter. Yeah, right? You go in there. It's tight. People are moving fast. They know exactly what they want. They will run your ass over, man. They will. And you cannot, don't even think about, if you forget something, like you didn't get something in produce, don't think you can go back to that section. You can't go backwards.
You're scaring me away. I've not been inside an Aldi. Now I can't attempt without going over to Urban.
Yeah,
right,
I would test it first. Yeah.
It is very, very scary.
Is it like IKEA where, I mean, I got my backside handed to me my first time in IKEA.
Because that moves like in a corkscrew motion, doesn't it, right? I mean, you get going the wrong way. You're done.
I had a friend once tell me that if you ever want to experience hell on earth, go to IKEA on a Saturday. And
Costco on a Saturday is really close to that. Costco here, the West Des Moines, Costco on a Saturday, you had to try that yet? Don't do it.
Not to this one. In my previous state, I unfortunately did that.
Bring a helmet.
I almost lost an arm.
But you will. I mean, people, that place is just nuts. All right, that'll do for more today. We're going to have to cut it off there. But what does it feel like to make a historic hire? How hard is it to open a bar in a basketball arena? What do you do when a first-place team only fills half of your arena? We will ask those questions before we leave, or just after we leave you with Guilty Pleasures. I'm Murph and Andy.
Policeman cuts the shades and sells a Chevy 69. How bizarre. How bizarre. How bizarre.
Oh, I forgot about this one.
Yeah, it's a good tune.
Who is this?
OMC.
OMC.
It stands for Something Millionaires Club.
Is this yours?
It is, yeah.
This is one of yours. You've had some good ones in here. Oh, it's been better than I thought it would be.
Me too.
Guilty Pleasures on Murph and Andy, 1460 KXNO here on a Thursday. Brian Harden is with us, the athletics director over at Drake University. It has been a good year to be you, man. I mean, it really has.
It has
football.
Yeah.
The women's basketball team is good as always. And this Darren DeVries hire has worked out for you. Gosh, it's worked out for you. You were upside down after Nico Medved. I mean, Nico Medved dropped a bombshell, but none of us were expecting that. And I know, and you were bluntly honest about your feelings about how that went down. You weren't happy, and you were outspoken about it. How does that feel now? Do you have any regrets about being so honest?
Yeah, I probably was.
Because you were mad. I mean, you were a raw nerve.
Yeah, it was good that we had the press conference at 4 o'clock that day as opposed to 10 o'clock because I probably would have been in a worse position, worse shape. I don't think I should have shared maybe a personal story or two along the way. I think that unfairly, you know, like the whole whiskey bottle thing, I probably needed to keep that one in my back pocket as opposed to share that piece of just kind of how the timeline unfolded. But it was important that I just wanted to be honest about kind of where we're at. And that's, it was kind of the first time I was kind of thrust in the position of having to answer questions on the spot about something. And it's like, okay, well, just be yourself. And I'm like, you saw a lot of just kind of what I was feeling that day. It was great to have President Martin alongside because we basically counseled each other and we were both feeling kind of the same thing. But now you look at it, what are we now, 11 months removed from that? And, yeah, we feel like we're in a great spot.
I thought it was, for the record, Murph and I, Andrew, I don't remember your thoughts. I think you liked it. I thought it was good. I really did. I mean, it was authentic.
It was refreshing.
It was refreshing. Yeah, your words were not measured. It was just real.
Yeah.
But you look back now, I think you have every reason to feel like, yeah, I took a chance there. I showed everybody that I'm one of them. I mean, because the direct fans felt exactly that way. Right. And now you've got somebody even better.
It's been a great year.
Fits better.
Yeah. No, it's been fantastic. You know, it's something that Darren came in here. And right, even from the very first conversation when, you know, so 2 days after that press conference, sitting in Darren's living room at his kitchen table there, I show up there, I met Ashley, Tucker, and Tatum. They're all there together. And then the three of them leave, and Darren and I stay, and we talk for 3-4 hours that day, just about a wide range of topics. And I left there and I called a couple of people on the drive back to Des Moines and said, okay, well, you know, I feel like we could put a nail on the wall and we won't fall beneath this nail. We felt that this guy is a great fit for Drake. He's got great knowledge. Maybe he doesn't have the head coaching experience or chops that some of the other folks you might talk to.
You knew this guy really wanted the job.
But he really wanted it. And that has to mean something. It's got to count for something. And it has. And you get in here and you see who he is. He's an Iowa farm boy at heart who understands what a work ethic is. He understands what Drake means as community. He knows what it takes to be successful in our conference. And he had a plan. And the plan that he laid out for me that day has come through. And I think that's why we've had great successes. He went into great detail. And we kind of pinned him down and just, okay, what's it going to take? And everything he outlined that day, he stuck to. And I think that's why we've been able to be successful, because he hasn't had to make things up on the fly. He knew who he wanted to hire for a coaching staff. He knew two of the three guys right off the bat, and he said that the third guy, I don't quite know yet. I have four names in mind. I'm going to interview them, and then I want you to sign off on the one person that I bring to you. And then for players, because I get you've got 8 to 10 roster spots you got to fill. Well, back at my desk at Creighton, I've got 6 lists, and I've got a list of high school seniors who haven't committed. I got a group of guys.
He was ready to hit the ground running in a tough job.
He knew what it would take, and there was a great article that Matt Bain wrote in the Register that kind of outlined that. And that's why I think that plan combined with his temperament and just his fit here has allowed us to go 21-7 this year and lead the league.
Okay, well, let's stick and move. Let's want to get in some more questions here with Brian Harden. So you served beer. You became the first of the arenas here in the state to be able to serve beer on campus. I mean, that was a big thing. I went to the UNI game. I just now got my beer. No, the lines, there is no question that is a hit with the fans, right? You have a...
Especially when you play UNI.
Right. I mean, that was an unusually big crowd.
And we need to handle it better. Yeah. But it was a huge success.
But, I mean, I imagine part of you probably wanted to see, okay, before we go all in on this, let's see how people even like it first.
We hadn't been tested to that point. We needed to see if this was actually something that, is this a vocal minority of people who are speaking up about it? Or will this actually, do we have a larger segment of our fan base that want this? Are there people that aren't coming to Drake games that might want to experience this? And this could be push them over the top and come down. And it's been a great success. We have not, knock on wood, have not had any issues in terms of behavior in the arena that's connected to the alcohol.
Which is a common fear.
And I think people have been happy with the selection that we have and try to cover, domestic, but also understand we've got a great craft scene here in the state of Iowa and try to cover that as well. And then to your point, we had a line issue. I mean, it was just way too, the demand was so great at the UNI game that we had to try to create a way for a second stand to open up, in which we got done last weekend.
So you opened a second stand. Was that difficult?
It was not as difficult as opening the first stand.
Right. Okay.
The first stand was a little, there were many more hurdles to clear. The second stand was just in terms of, okay, logistically, how do we actually pull this off? Is there anyone we need to be checking with on this? But it became pretty quickly that the wheels got in motion pretty fast. We got that one done in less than a week. It took more than a week, to get the first beer stand done.
Already plans in place to add or enhance those two systems next year?
Yes. Yeah. So we will. We need to improve the second location in terms of where it is, the signage, possibly the options there. Mm-hmm. Debating, do we add anything beyond beer or the seltzer that we have right now? We've had some folks ask for wine service, but then we also, I think the next step for us is to
wine.
Yeah, I know.
At a basketball game.
Yeah,
they're never happy.
It's not my thing. Geez. They But they serve beer and wine at the Civic Center. I was offered wine when I went down there on a Sunday afternoon for a Disney show. Well, I was there for a Disney show with my kids on a Sunday afternoon. They asked me if I wanted a glass of wine. I'm like, no. I mean, maybe I should have, but it was I did not do that. So the next step for us is to create better group opportunities for like a party deck or like some type of a, you know, you and I has a really cool Panther patio that's up on top of the arena where it's more of a private space where you can get beer. Where do those opportunities exist for us so that you can actually get a beer, talk with friends, and still see the court? One of the issues we have right now is in our little area that you buy beer, you're kind of secluded.
You can't tell the game's going on.
You don't know what's going on in anywhere in the arena. Sorry. So we've got to improve that.
Got to get some TVs.
But is there an ability that we can actually also do something where you have eyesight of the court? And I think that I've got two ideas in mind that we could do that.
Because you can't just sell beer at the concession stands with the high school kids working.
Right, correct. Yeah, we told our administration that we would not do it there. We have too many high school, college kids. We can't put them in that position.
You feel very smart for hiring Darren DeVries. You've kept Jenny Baranchuk. You've done really well there. There is still this enormous challenge sitting in front of you that maybe makes you feel like, I think it would make just about anybody feel like they're not smart enough to figure it out. You had 3,000 fans at your last game.
Right.
And you were vying for first place.
Right.
Yeah. And it was a weekend game.
It was a Tuesday night game.
I'm sorry, the Tuesday night game was 3,000 fans. Right.
Yeah.
Tuesday night game.
We had 4,000 for the previous weekend and 56 something for the UNI game.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so 4,000, 5,600 with UNI in town.
Yep.
3,000 fans for the game where you're vying for first place.
Right, with a Red Hot Bradley team.
Not half full. Red Hot, Bradley.
No idea, exactly.
Bradley,
but right.
What are you going to do about that?
Yeah, I know. It's a huge challenge, and it's not unique to Drake. It hasn't been unique to Drake for a long time. You see this a lot of places
around.
It's
not unique to this year at Drake.
Correct.
It's always been the case.
Right. It's not unique to college basketball. You see attendance trends move in the wrong direction at a lot of places. However, we've got to clearly find some way to tap into it. So you have to figure out what's it going to take to get students there, because the students bring the energy.
Hassel sent me a picture of the game the other night. It was 3 minutes into the game, and the student section was empty.
Well, we're like LA; it's a late arriving crowd. So, I mean,
you're sugarcoating it. As a Drake alum, I can attest. I mean, the students don't come to Drake as Drake fans. Iowa students go to Iowa; they're already an Iowa fan.
Yeah.
Iowa State students go to Iowa State; they're already a Cyclone fan.
Yep.
They're already interested in the team. Drake students come. They're not Drake fans. They don't care. I mean, they go to Drake. They're from St. Louis or Minneapolis or Chicago or even Des Moines.
Yeah.
And they're not caring about the Bulldogs yet.
I give Jerry Parker, I get a name drop, is our dean of students and is a young guy who is really in touch with our students. Last couple of weeks, he connected me with our fraternities and sororities on our campus and allowed me to go door to door and actually sit down and talk to them. And what does it take? What can we do to entice you to come out here? Because I think a big part of making Drake a more fun campus is to provide that school spirit opportunity. You know, I think probably you and I certainly went to basketball games and sporting events when I was in school.
And Marquette.
And basketball school. That was my experience. But it's like you have a great time there and you're connected to your school through athletics. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to build that connection.
And keeps you connected after school.
Keeps you connected. That's what we're trying to do here. So what we found out is there are a couple main things that students want from us. They want food, they want clothing, and they want transportation. You know, and that's kind of what it takes to get students to come to the game. So is that what's going to take in the short term here to get them interested?
Why do they need transportation at Drake?
Well, you know, it's really
across the street.
Well, no, not if you live on 34th Street down in one of the fraternity or sorority houses. You know, you got that's an 8-block walk there to get to the Knapp Center.
The Knapp Center, it's closer than the West End Lounge. That's your marketing slogan right there.
Yeah, I think we actually need to run a shuttle from the West End Lounge to the Knapp Center.
Yeah, you probably should. Yeah, empty that thing out.
Well, more so after halftime. I think there's a decent crowd that'll leave at halftime to walk down there for a
while. And that's when Drake was doing really well in 2008. It was fun to go there with other alums and fans, go to the West End Lounge first, have a couple beers, then go to the game. And it felt like a real sports school.
Yeah.
It felt like a real college
And we'll get it back. It'll take some more time, but I'm cautiously optimistic. Well, the students will come out here on next Wednesday night.
All right, one last question for you, and we're out of time. All right, has Jamie Pollard called to schedule another football game?
He has not yet.
Are you waiting on that call?
My phone is right here. I'm sitting by it right now. I'm hoping it'll ring any second now.
He's probably called. You probably talked to him since then, but that subject has somehow not come up.
Surprisingly, that one has not come up. I don't know why it hasn't. I'm sure it has nothing to do with the NCAA legislation that prohibits us from playing and having that game count as a victory. But that was a great experience.
That was fun.
That was fun. Jamie was a great partner in that.
You've had some successes with that, and the uniforms were a big hit too. A great job with those. Everybody loved
those. Are fun. I ordered a pair of shorts for myself. I mean, those are coming in, I guess, 7 or 8 weeks.
Wear those around. Do you work out or what?
I'll probably just wear them over my suit pants and just walk around.
They're that good looking. Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see when you guys decide to wear those.
I think you'll see them sooner than later.
Any talk about bringing out the old white ones too?
Who knows? I really like the white ones too.
All the old stuff is good.
I'd like to see us use those jerseys in a similar fashion as how Michigan State uses their 79 Magic Johnson jerseys.
Yeah.
Where they pull them out once in a while, whether it's a special game, whether it's a special moment.
Yeah, not all the time.
Not all the time, but is there a unique home game, a unique road or neutral site game that it could make sense for us to break it out in? If you have some success, would you continue to wear them during a certain stretch of time? Potentially.
They were a big success. I think everybody loved them. I don't remember hearing of a jersey or a new uniform more universally approved of.
Yeah. We need to figure out to get more apparel for fans, whether sweatshirts, hats, whatever, to utilize that mark. It's great.
Brian, good to talk with you.
Andy, thanks.
Brian Harden, the Drake AD, joining us. Leave you with a guilty pleasure. Coming back with the 80 squared. Yeah, that's mine. That's one of mine right there. That's my guilty pleasure.
I haven't heard this song.
That's Oingo Boingo. Great name. I actually have a whole album of theirs on my phone. It might be the best of Boingo. The greatest hits.
The best of Boingo.
Yeah. They did the theme song to Weird Science. They're playing live in the movie Back to School. They're playing at Rodney Dangerfield's party. And Danny Elfman is he's the leader of that band. And he's a really accomplished musical score director. For films.
Right,
film score director.
I was going to say
film
that
score
name
director.
Is like super familiar to me.
Yeah, Danny Elfman. That is the leader of Oingo Boingo.
That's pretty cool.
The leader of the Andrew Downs audio drop of the day is actually Andrew Downs.
Yeah, it sure is. So this is it's a news story, and you got to stick with it just a little bit before you get the payoff. But it's from KWCH in Wichita, Kansas. It's about
K-Witch.
Yeah, K-Witch. It's about a bomb threat at a Home Depot there in Wichita, but things weren't exactly as they seemed.
Call to Sedgwick County dispatcher started as a bomb threat when really it should have been more of a warning for those customers in the restroom.
We just had a customer here apparently made what may have been a bomb threat.
Okay, what exactly did he say?
Somebody told me there's a bomb in here. You need to leave the building.
Well, that's a 911 call that led police to the Home Depot at K96 in Woodlawn. Someone there told staff they overheard the threat in the store's restroom. Police did some investigating. They learned it was not a bomb threat in a literal sense. Police say a man was in a stall when he told others in the restroom, quote, "Y'all need to get out of here because I'm fixing to blow it up," end quote. Once police tracked the man down, it became clear it was a misunderstanding. He said he just really needed to go to the restroom and he wanted to warn others of the severity of his need. Officers did clear up the confusion with Home Depot.
Dude walks into the bathroom and goes, "Man, you guys better get out of here. I'm fixing to blow this thing up." And the guy calls the police.
Which people have done before. Right. And really is just a kind of a public service announcement.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right?
Good on the guy for doing it.
I wouldn't go in there if I were you. I blew it up. Oh, my God.
Fixing to blow this up.
You don't say that on a plane.
No.
But in Home Depot, first of all, Home Depot, that's a big bathroom.
Yeah.
You go into that bathroom and you suddenly realize you're going to blow that one up.
Yeah, you better let people know.
That's bad. I mean, you have the devil in you. If you're going to ruin a bathroom of that size, I mean, it's made with all that hardware. too. You know, really heavy duty stuff.
God, how embarrassing if you're that guy and the cops, like the bomb squad comes, cops
is he
are
still
all
on the toilet when they showed up?
He's like, oh,
sir, somebody
you,
called
sir,
it a bomb.
Sir, did you make a bomb threat?
Well, no, I didn't make a threat, no, man. I made a bomb delivery.
I made a warning.
I just hit the flush.
Yeah, step in there. You'll see what I was talking about.
It was more than a threat, man. Are you kidding?
I
followed through.
I should get a certificate for
I blew it up, but the bathroom is still here, sir. How do they not get that immediately?
That's a really good question.
You blew up the... What do you mean you blew up the bathroom? I see the bathroom is fine. It's very smelly, but it's intact. Yeah, man, I blew it up.
Later in the story, they said one of the guys in the bathroom even laughed about it. So one guy says it, one guy laughs, the other guy goes and calls the cops. Bomb threat.
Crazy. That was not a bomb threat. That was a bomb delivery. I delivered on that threat. That wasn't a threat. That's a fact. That's a threat. That's a fact. It is time now to look in on the Quickie Poll brought to us each day by WCI Pools and Spots.
Yeah, we had two of them. Quickie Poll A, if I were Zion Williamson and I was cleared to play, I would, 68% say return to the lineup, finish the season with Duke, 32% say be safe and call it quits right now. Our more Quickie Poll, how do you most often use ranch dressing? 72% say as a dipping sauce.
I thought so.
Yep.
I thought so.
Yeah.
That's an Iowa answer right there.
I think
most other states see it as a salad dressing. It says salad dressing on the bottle, right?
Probably.
It doesn't say dipping sauce, does it?
I doubt it's a dipping sauce.
It may just say ranch.
It just says ranch.
You know what to do with it.
Yeah,
use it
you
as you will. good stuff here on the Murphy and Andy Show today. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate Brian Harden coming in, hanging out, Mark Freund. Watch his stuff tonight on the Channel 13 News. And stick around with us here on KXNO for the Sports Fanatics. We leave you with the outfield. We'll be back tomorrow. It'll be Friday then.